Now we're going to do a sharing today on two of the most important events of Yahweh, that they were so important that he set the calendar to them. And who can tell me what those events are?
The birth of the Christ.
And so what day and month are we talking about?
September 11th.
Tishri.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the next one? Where he changed the calendar.
Nisan.
Yeah, which is?
Nisan was in March, right?
Yeah, Nisan. And so we're going to learn about these, and these are very significant. I've never taught this, and these should be foundational, that when we talk about Genesis, what month are we talking about?
The first one.
Which is?
Nisan. Tishri.
So Yahweh created, which we're going to see on Tishri 1. And that's why in a Jewish calendar, every Jewish calendar begins with Tishri 1.
Yeah, but what month is that according to us?
Well, that's September, October. And so that's when Yahweh made the climate, was September, October.
And it's Nisan in March?
Yeah, well, yeah, Nisan now is in March. So 7 months apart. So not, and we'll go through that. So Nisan becomes the first month. And this is after Exodus 12. And so we have to say, what significant events did Yahweh do? Well, one is the creation. That's Tishri 1. His son's born was on Tishri 1. And then we changed it to, for one, you know, astronomical event, which was called the what?
Passover.
Yeah, the Exodus from Egypt. And so it was so huge that he redirected the whole calendar to Nisan. He's saying we should automatically know we don't.
Nisan being the first.
We didn't know what those names would mean. I didn't know anything about Tishri until Dr. Wuerl, you know, the way ministry started doing these things. And it's huge. Every Jew knows Tishri is the month. Mm-hmm. And now it's the seventh. And so remember, or not remember, there are two events. United States would go by a January calendar, but the fiscal government goes by, I think, October calendar or July. So there's 2 years. Their beginning of the year begins in July or October, while our calendar year begins in January. And so this is nothing unusual. Mm-hmm. And so the Jewish year begins the Tishri 1, but according to the Exodus, it's Nisan 1. Yeah. So let's go to Genesis 1. We'll start on this. You want a Bible, David?
See one up here?
Esther.
Can you get that black one and that pink one down too, please?
You want a pink one or a
red
one?
That one's
the regular one.
No, he asked me to take
one
the
pink
one in the
yeah,
black one.
Okay.
Just ask him a boy if he wants a pink Bible or a red one.
That's Izzy's. Somebody grab Izzy's Bible.
The pink one.
Yeah. He's not here to defend himself.
Thank you.
Right.
We notice that too. That with guys who have women's names are mocked, and you know Patricia is really Irish. That's male. It's a male name, Patricia.
Patrick.
Yeah, but it's not that. They call Patricia, and so there's certain names are what a bummer name. Why women get men's names all the time, and nobody ever mocks them. So it's really really insane. That's no relationship whatsoever.
They mark men who wear women's clothing too.
Yeah, women can wear men's clothing, baseball caps on backwards, and everything else, no problem. If a guy put on a scarf, big problem.
Big problem, man.
Male malfunction.
Yeah. No man bun.
In fact, there's a Levitical law about that.
That's right.
That's right. But I digress. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. So we just got to start thinking all over again. You know, most of the things that we've learned is just wrong. Yeah, it's just wrong. It's amazing how Christianity, what we call Christianity, is not Christianity at all. It's a religion that's been concocted. You know, I just heard today that, well, Jesus, why the Trinity is so much better than a mono meaning one, with Islam, is because before man came around, who did God have to talk with? This was a Christian preacher. you know, Ravi something on the radio, a very famous guy. And he says, yeah, then that means when they made man, it was like he was lonely, he needed a man. I just like, I can't believe I'm even hearing this. And this is justifying the three gods getting to talk to each other so they're not lonely. But they're not three gods, they're the same God who talks to himself. You know, I mean, it's just like, are you insane? That's what was being taught on the radio. You know, people are immortal. Are people immortal? They say man's a tripartite, three elements, body, soul, and spirit. No. You know, and so people are in heaven. No. You know, when people die, they don't die. No. I mean, it's just one thing after. What is right? Yeah. So you have to ask, well, what actually do you have right? Is there God? Is not Yahweh. He's Jesus. That's completely wrong. Two died with Christ. No, there was four. He died on Good Friday. No, he died on Wednesday. I mean, it just goes as the Sabbath is Sunday. No, it's not. That's the first day of the week. That's not the last day of the week. I mean, it's just like, wow, how could people be so wrong in so many areas and read the same book? Yeah. And they're not reading it. So, Genesis 1, in the beginning, Elohim, and this is neat, in the beginning, what is that grammatically? What do those marks mean?
Grammatical inversion.
Grammatical inversion. So the book begins with a grammatical inversion. The liturgy used to say God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, right? That's how we were taught. And so the emphasis was in the beginning. What a great deal. Ruffin points that out. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Day one. No. No, the counting doesn't start. And now the earth hath become waste and wild, and darkness was upon the face of the roaring deep, but the Ruach of Elohim was brooding on the face of the waters. Day two. No. Well, we got to see, no counting begins until chapter, verse 3. That's not Tishri 1. That's not the first of the creation. For mankind, that's when the earth came into effect, but there was something else that happened way before us. Yeah. And that's what people got to realize too. Man is not the center of the universe. There's creations we have no idea. They're called principalities and powers and messengers and demons, and there's all sorts of the unseen world that's around us all the time. And how many things we don't know about. And so when people start putting that man and God, that's all there is, well, that's just a ludicrous. Now we begin on Tishri 1. And Elohim said, light be, and light was. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, but the darkness called he night, so that it was evening and it was morning one day. Well, I started thinking, if man is so important, shouldn't he have been made on day one?
You would think.
You would think so. I mean, you'd make, okay, this is what it's all about. Man's going to be on day one. He's not. Well, that's interesting. And you say, well, he's on the sixth day all by himself. Was that the only thing that happened on the sixth day?
Mm-hmm.
No, interesting. Isn't that weird to say that man didn't have his own day? His own coming out party. And we're going to see why. So Yahushua, as we know, it was born on Tishri 1. He was on Tishri 1. Man doesn't get made till Tishri 6. And you have to say, why isn't man made on Tishri 1? And why was he on 6 instead of 1? And why was Yahushua on 1? Because it had to be Yahushua was perfect. He was going to be a sinless man that justified Tishri 1 of the new creation. Why man, as we know, flunked. All right. So we go to verse 24, chapter 1. This is actually Tishri 6. Now watch, whatever happens on 6, we must scratch our head to say, wow, we didn't even get divided from the animals, did we? Well, what are you trying to say, God? Hey, we must think about that. You know, he's making a statement here. You think you're a God? Not yet. You know, you've got to choose to be a servant. You got to choose obedience. And until then, you're just an animal. Because we're going to find out the end of all mankind who reject the Creator are going to be no different than what? Animals. They all die. They're all vapor. They're all ashes. They're all dust. They're gone. That's it. What happens to a dog or a cat? Same situation. What's going to happen to Obama? Same situation. They're nothing but animals. Land animals. 24, and Elohim said, let the land bring forth living nephesh after its kind. When people say man has a soul, that's the word soul they translate. Well, that's nephesh. That's animals. All right. So what you think, what people tell you, and what actually what the word says do not agree. A soul is not something that you have that leaves your body when you die and goes someplace else. Animals are living nephesh. After its kind, tame beasts and creepy things, wild beasts of the land after its kind. And it was so, and Elohim made the wild beast of the land after its kind, and the tame beast after its kind, every creepy thing of the ground after its kind. And Elohim said that it was good. This is still day six. Man's part B. Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Okay, differentiating between animals and man was image and likeness of Elohim. You know, how are we different? Because we're living souls, they're living souls. All right, so, okay, well, what's the difference? We're made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of the heavens and over the tame beast and over the land and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the land. And you could probably go all the way through here. Let's just go to and 31. And Elohim saw everything which he had made, and lo, it was very good. So it was evening, and it was morning the sixth day. So Tishri 6 was Adam and Eve, or Adam. And remember, not remember, I keep saying that. They were made as twins. And so first thing, people keep acting like women were an afterthought for man. And that is in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, it's a different account of creation. Genesis chapter 1, it's the same. Well, let me just go over that. Go there. Let's go to 27. And Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. They're twins. So just think of them being 12, because it could never be righteous to say, here's a female that she's subservient and came from Adam's rib. You know, you're like, well, that doesn't seem very fair. Do you want to come from Adam's rib, or would you rather be Adam? Well, I'd rather be Adam. And so you're like, that doesn't make any justification at all. Well, chapter 2 is all about marriage. Now, and so this is when they become one flesh. And in marriage, the woman gets to voluntarily say, I want you to be the head. And if you don't want them to be a head, you don't get married. All right, so very simple. You can be the head. You be the head, just don't get married. And so chapter 1 is about the creation, but everybody looks at chapter 2 and acts like chapter 1 didn't even exist. And it discredits women. And we know Yahweh is no respecter of persons. Let's see here. Animals, let's see here. Oh, and let's just look at, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's page 637. And this is some validation. And there's many places. So you got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes.
The Old Testament, Esther.
Page 637 in the Old Testament. I mean, my Ecclesiastic, I can't even read it. This is so depressing. So I don't read it. But think about this. You know, man has come up with this whole concoction that man is different than the animals. He lives outside his body some way, either in hell, a bad place, or in heaven, a good place. You know, it's interesting. There's another thing I start thinking about with a lot of people. If you ask a Christian to say, what Hebrew word do you mean when the Catholics say purgatory? And what do you have to say? No, there is none. Yeah. I mean, so, well, yeah, and a proselyte would say, well, there is no such thing. Right? Okay, now let's talk about hell. What Hebrew word are you saying? No different than purgatory. They're both creations of men. Wow. But if we talk to a Protestant, they feel very superior to Catholics. So they don't pray to Mary. The Catholics take that very seriously. And so you can talk to a Protestant by saying, well, a Catholic prays to Mary. Oh, yeah, they pray to Mary. You can't pray to Mary. Well, you pray to the Holy Spirit. Now, where does it say that? I know it doesn't say pray to Mary. It doesn't say pray to the Holy Spirit either. It only says pray to God. You pray to Jesus. It doesn't say that either. And so by using that, you can help teach them. Because they can see very clearly. We can usually see other people's mistakes very clearly. And then we can see that. Now I'm going to relate it to us. And that's the same analogy where Nathan came up to David and said, this guy took this guy's sheep. And what do you want to do about it? He said, kill him. And he said, you're the man. Yikes, I walked right into that.
Whoa.
Okay, Melania 3, verse 19 to 21, loudly.
19. For as regards the destiny of the sons of men and the destiny of beasts, one fate have they. As dieth the one, so dieth the other. And one spirit have they all. And preeminence of man over beast is nothing, for all were vanity, and all go unto the place all came from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knoweth the spirit of the sons of men, whether it ascendeth above, or spirit of the beast, whereas it descendeth below the earth?
Here you go. So they all die, they all become dust. So we, our traditions of man just can't accept that and try to make a different doctrine for that. Okay. So we know from the word, man is not immortal. Isn't that insane? I mean, just think about it. That's what we're seeking to be. You know, do you know anybody immortal? You know people have died? Yeah, they're mortal. And they're not celestial beings. They never have been celestial beings. And in Hebrews, it talks about that Yahweh has given the earth to man. Very simple thing. Okay, so what is this people in heaven? You know, it's just it's so confusing. Now, let's go look at Tishri 1.
It's all Greek to me.
Yeah. Leviticus 23, page 150 in the Old Testament. So it's a beautiful day that Yahweh marked out.
Oh, the Hebrew text, Isaiah. I'll let you read that.
Old Testament. And I shouldn't have to tell you on some of these books. Ecclesiastes, I should have it. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. And this says, Tishri 1 was the seventh month, the first day. And this is so great. This begins every Jewish calendar. And so this begins our too, a celebration of the creation of mankind. It was on Tishri 6, but the whole process began on Tishri 1. And it's usually, this year I think it's going to be around September 21st. And it's also the birthday of Christ. What a perfect thing. Because look what happens on Tishri 1 when Christ was born. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, shall there be unto you a sacred rest. A trumpet blowing, and that's incorrect. The word is not trumpet, and so Rotherham does this too. It's really called shouting. Let me see here.
Shabbathon?
Yeah, well, it's the Hebrew word, teruah, which means to shout.
You get the strongest ever?
Yeah, right. Nope. No idea, yes. 8643. And we've done teachings on this before. But so what you do on the seventh month, on the first day, is a shouting commemoratory, a holy convocation. No laborious work shall you do. Mm-hmm. You shall bring near an altar flame unto Yahweh. So here was a day where everybody just rejoiced and shouted. And a lot of people, the Hebrews probably knew it was a day of creation. That's one reason you're shouting. We're celebrating the day of creation. And our creation, because it was creation before us. So I don't want to say the creation. But when Christ was born, this was happening in Jerusalem. Because Christ was born between about 6:30 and 7:30 on Tishri 1.
P.M.
Pardon me?
P.M.
Yeah, P.M. And that's between the sunsets. It's very fascinating. And Dr. Rural did this on Christ, our promised seed. And we know this is from Revelation chapter 12, the zodiac sign. Let's just go there. Revelation chapter 12, last book, the Bible. And what's neat is, did Mary know his birthday? Sure. So, but they never recorded it. But then Yahweh, in the last book of the Bible, records his birthday. Isn't that cool? Chapter 12, verse 1, page 259. And a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman arrayed with the sun. That's called, what, Aaron? Virgo. It's the constellation Virgo. Arrayed with the sun and the moon beneath her feet. And so at the same time, you're going to have the Virgo constellation, sun setting, and the moon right here. And Virgo's pointing this way. Her feet's like this. It's a great little chart. The moon had her feet. And she was with child and cried out, being in the pains and in anguish to bring forth. And there appeared another sign in heaven. And lo, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns were upon his head, 7 diadems. And his tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bring forth, that as soon as she should bring forth, he might devour her child. Do we have an adversary or what?
Yeah.
Look at that. Before he even born, trying to get me killed. And she brought forth a son, a man-child, who was about to shepherd all the nations with a scepter of love.
Iron.
Excuse me. A scepter of wool. And her child was caught away unto Yahweh and unto his throne. That tells you his birth. Now we go back to Numbers 29:1, page 188. In the Old Testament. 28:29:1. This is Tishri 1 again. And in the seventh month, on the first of the month, a holy convocation shall there be unto you. No laborious work shall you do. A day of what?
Loud acclamation
shall it be unto you. Tishri, which is the seventh month, which is actually the first month in the calendar year for the Jews, is the best month of all months. It has more holidays and more holy days than any other month. And what are they? There's three. Can somebody name them? Go.
Passover, Festival of Booths.
No, it's just Tishri, the seventh month. Passover is on Nisan. So you have, that's the last. Festival of Booths. And then
Feast of Weeks.
Yom Kippur. That's the 10th. And so you have Rosh Hashanah, that's what they call it, and that is Tishri 1. That's when Christ was born, that's when creation began, our creation began. Then you have Tishri 10, which is the only day of propitiation, where the priest went into the Holy of Holies. That's the only time he's ever been there. It was a day of humbling. And if you go to Leviticus 23, it tells you all about it right there, where we covered. And then you have the 15th, which is the day of the Festival of Booths, which was 7 days. And it's the seventh month. So seven is a very special number for Yahweh, right?
Spiritual perfection.
Yeah, spiritual perfection. So the two, so we look at the calendar. These are so cataclysmic that Yahweh had Tishri 1 as creation, that's Genesis 1-3. And then and we go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, page 95. He's going to change from Tishri to Nisan. Chapter 12, verse 1.
Chapter 12, what?
Verse 1. And really, this all centers back around Christ, because it's going to be the Passover lamb, which is going to stop the angel of who?
Death.
So the Passover lamb is going to stop, and it's going to give life. It's going to save the firstborn of everybody. That's who Christ was. And so significant, Christ is born on Tishri 1, and he dies on Nisan the 14th. You know, so Nisan is that what Yahweh is going to move to the first month now. And so these 2 months, the whole universe, our whole universe, spins on these two events. 12:1. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month is to you a beginning of months. The first it is to you of the months of the year. And that was Nisan. Speak ye unto all the sons of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, then let them take to them each man a lamb for his ancestral household, a lamb for the household. That was Yahushua. When he went into Jerusalem, the person had to get attached to the lamb before they're going to kill it.
Yeah.
And if the household is too small for a lamb, there shall be, let me just go on. Verse 5, a lamb without defect, a male a year old, a year shall be. How old was Yahushua in his ministry life?
About 30.
Yeah, but he only had his ministry for how long?
1 year.
Less than 6 months.
Oh.
That's yearly. He said, you have to be a lamb less than a year old. Right? For the sheep from the goats, and shall you take it. So shall it be yours to keep until the 14th day of the month. This is the day Yahushua was crucified and died. Then shall all the convocations of the assembly of Israel slay it between the two evenings. And they shall take the blood and put it upon the two doorposts and upon the upper beam upon the house wherein they are eating it. Why? Let me see here. 12, and I will pass along, therefore, throughout the land of Egypt this night, and will smite every firstborn in the land of Egypt. Did anybody have to be killed?
No.
No. If everybody just would have done what Yahweh says, and that's the next thing we're going to see is rebellion. From man even to beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, I, Yahweh. So we have figuratively taken the blood of Christ and put it over our doorpost. That way that we have no part of the second death. So let's just look at that. Let's go to Revelation again, 20. Yeah, chapter 20, last book. David all the way to the end of the book.
265 at the very back.
We've got chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. You want to read that, Esther?
5 and 6?
Yes.
Okay. The rest of the dead live not on it
until
the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first
resurrection. Speak loud.
Resurrection. Happy and holy is that hath power in the first
resurrection.
Upon these, the second death had no authority.
Here it is. The second death had no authority. That means they reached immortality. Right? Now, there's no more death. This class of people reached immortality. There's another class that did not, and they're the animals. Obama. you know, the Democratic Party. Let's just see right here in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found from them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is a book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And death and Sheol were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. But everybody's got everlasting life.
So see, not the second
according
life.
To the church, everybody has everlasting life. Right? Because you're either going to go a good life in heaven or you're going to have a bad life in hell. But either way, everybody lives forever. Where did you get that premise? You know, it completely contradicts all scripture. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire, the second death. That's the same as animals. They're dead. They've got mortality. So one person said, all of us, theoretically, will die once. Another group will die twice. We will not. Because we have taken of the tree of life because we want to live in paradise, and we will.
Unless Christ comes back.
Yeah, unless Christ. And that's the exception, if Christ comes back. So look at that. You know, here is the second death. I mean, here was Nisan, which Yahweh said, make that the first month. And that's when Christ was crucified. And then here is Tishri 1, which was the creation when Christ was born. So now you have both the cataclysmic, and Christ was part of both those days before mankind even knew about Christ even coming. Now, let's look at the rebellion side. Yahweh readjusted the calendar because of the exodus of Israel from Egypt for 40 years in the wilderness. We're going to find out how many people rebelled against Yahweh during this time. So let's go to Exodus chapter 14. So we got Genesis, Exodus, that's in the Old Testament.
Exodus what?
Chapter 14, verse 26.
Page 98.
Gosh. Very significant. Most of this is going to be in Numbers. All these people who are going to rebel against Yahweh are quote-unquote Christian believers, because they followed Moses into the wilderness. They all, quote-unquote, saw all the miracles that Yahweh did, right? They saw the splitting of the Red Seas, and they saw one thing after, I mean, the whole thing that happened, and they were without excuse. Do they need any more information that Moses is the man? And that Yahweh is Yahweh?
Yeah.
But they still rebel. All right, that's what we would say. These are the Christian church, what they would say, a great percentage of them. How could you see this and do what you actually did? And which we're going to see that. So she always said that rebellion, the heart of man, it just can be so wicked. But we know, did the Egyptians see what Yahweh did to them? And now they're going to go chase them.
Yeah.
Some of the Egyptians became Jews, though.
Yeah. Let's look at 14, verse 26. And so this kind of starts the Exodus. Remember, Nisan started the Exodus. Okay, 14, verse 26 to 30. And Elijah, do you want to read that aloud?
26 through what?
Through 30.
Okay. Then said Yah unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand over the sea, that the waters may return upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned towards morning to its steady flow. Then the Egyptians were fleeing to meet it. Thus Yahweh shook off the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Thus the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even all the forces of Pharaoh that were entering after them into the sea, that there were not left remaining among them such so much as one. For the sons of Israel had gone their way on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters had been to them a wall on the right hand and on their left. Thus did Yahweh on that day save Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the shore of the sea. And
this begins their this begins their journey. Rebellers, what happened to them? Wiped out. You got to see that, everybody? Yes. Okay. Shouldn't have any questions. Now we go to Exodus 32, chapter 32, verse 25. Moses is on a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Melania, how long can a man live without water?
3 days.
Yeah, and so I didn't realize that. She just went into her science book and was talking about where we lose our water. We need about 2 quarts a day because that's what we lose. And I never thought about breathing. When you exhale, that's moisture leaving your body. And just put a mirror there. And so you'd have to quit breathing. And even if you're cold, your body temperature is what? Esther? Isaiah?
6.
That's warm. Even if you have clothing on, you're going to have evaporation. It's going to leave your body. So you have water leaving your body. Now, he's on a mountain in the desert, and there's no fountains up there. There's no snow up there. For 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't take anything up with him.
But he's only 84, right?
Yeah. So you can see somebody living, some people live 40 days without food, if you have a lot of fat. But you can't live 40 days without water, so they say he's dead. Let's make us a god. So Haran made him a god. Rebellion, right off the bat. And this is a test. And so in my opinion, why he was up there for 40 days is Yahweh is watching what you guys are going to do without the chief man. And it wasn't Moses needed the
probation,
the 40-day probation. It's the people need the 40 days. And let's see what you did. And they flunked. And they made a god. And Aharon flunked. That's where this comes in. And so now we look at verse 25. Now this will start our head count. And Troy, you want to read 25 to 28?
What chapter?
Chapter 32, page 116.
Moses saw the people that unbridled they were, for Aharon had given them the rein for a whispering among their enemies.
Now, this is a great example. That's what Obama has tried to do for the United States. The Democratic Party, by legalizing sodomy, by legalizing every kind of wickedness, men going into men's bathroom, that is giving the reins of unbridledness. And that's what governments there are supposed to stop. Have the reins and say, you can't do that. You just can't do that. And so the illegal aliens, immigration, all these things, is all anarchy. They're all signs of lawlessness. And so that's what Aaron did. Once you take a bridle off, I show the kids, once you take a bridle off a horse, you're going to go for a nice ride, according to what it says. Right? That's why you keep a bridle in the mouth to direct it to pull back and say, no, you're not going there. Okay, now going to 26.
So Moses took his stand in the gate of the camp and said, who is for Yahweh? To me. Then gathered unto him all the sons of Levi, and he said to them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put ye every man his sword upon his thigh, pass through and return from gate to gate in the camp, and slay ye every man his brother, and every man his friend, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell from among the people on that day about 3,000 men.
Wow. Now, these are all, were these 2,000 people witnesses of what Yahweh did? Mm-hmm. Did they rebel against Yahweh? Yes, they did. Are you willing to kill your brother if they came down to that? Then you need to. And so there's a real separation to say, Yahweh said, or Christ says, who are my brothers and my sisters? Those who hear the word of Yahweh and do it. All right, so if you're going to choose your parents or your family members over Yahweh, you're not worthy of it. When it comes down to it, because that's what Adam did with Eve. He chose Eve over Yahweh. Eve was deceived; Adam was not. So why did he do it? Because he chose Eve over still. So a husband and wife cannot ever be that way. You cannot do it through your children. Anything else? And these guys killed his brother, his friend, and his neighbor. Wow. They chose allegiance to who? Yahweh. Over these people. So we have to have that same toughness. But there's 3,000 down. Now we go to Leviticus chapter 10. This is page 133. It's a little bit over. Who else rebelled? 10 verse 1 and 2. Isaiah, you want to read chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 on page
133? Yeah. Page 1?
Read
aloud. 1 and 2. Okay. Then Aaron's sons,
Nadab
and
Abihu,
took each man and his censer and placed them in fire and put therefore in sea.
Incense
and burned ye before Yahweh, strange fire, which had not commanded them. Then he came forth fire from Yahweh and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh.
Wow. Okay, there's two. And guess who they are? Aaron's sons. And whose nephews were they?
Moses'
nephews. So now we're at 3,002. And they chose to rebel against Yahweh, not tolerate. Now we go back to go to Numbers, next book to the right, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 11, 31. Wow. And these were priests. And so you think for a minute that people have high religious order aren't going, some of them are going to rebel against Yahweh? Yeah. Like, no, these are Aaron's sons. These were the priest class. You know, not only the Levites, they were the priesthood. So don't ever be surprised when they know that somebody's not fallible. Or they're infallible. 11 verse 31 through 34. Now they said, we're tired of this manna. We want meat. We want meat. And so we're going to see what happens. And we're going to read that, Wendy, 31 to 34.
Now a wind had sprung up from Yahweh and cut off quails from the sea and let them lie over the camp, as it were a day's journey here and a day's journey there, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits, excuse me, on the face of the land. And the people rose up all that day and all that night and all the next day and gathered the quails. He that did least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves, spreading away round about the camp. The flesh was yet between their teeth, not yet chewed, when the anger of Yahweh had kindled upon the people, and Yahweh smote the people with an exceeding great plague. And the name of that place was Kilbroth Hadavah, because there they buried the people who had lusted.
So here's another group that lusted. Yeah. It sounds very severe, so I don't know if they're getting rare, raw birds and just tearing things with their mouth. You know, I mean, just something bad about this.
Yeah.
You saw that group now. Now we go to chapter 12, and we're going to find out about Moses' sister.
And brother.
I mean, so we have to always insulate to ourselves to say, Yahweh wants fidelity. 100% allegiance. So that's above your wife, it's above your children, it's above your government, it's above, anybody else? Wife, children, parents. So whenever it comes, I choose between these and Yahweh, he wants 100% fidelity. That's called faithfulness. And these people were not. And so we would be tempted to the same situation. I've seen many people fall when they chose their children over Yahweh. They've fallen when they, and we know countless people like that, where their children live in sin. So when the children who are believers go live in sin, let's say they go commit fornication, and not getting married, but they're having a sexual relationship with a partner, what are the parents supposed to do according to the word?
Confront.
Yeah, is to cast them aside and not even eat with them. That's what 1 Corinthians 5 says. Are you willing to do that? And if you're not, you've broken that allegiance. You've broken the hesed of Yahweh. And so it's 100% Yahweh. So if you say to do it, I'm going to do that. That's it. So, I mean, just thing after thing. If your parents become an alcoholic, and they were Christians before, and they chose alcoholism, goodbye. Adios. And when you give up the alcohol, because it says a brother is a drunkard, a fornicator, you know. And I look at that with the Democratic Party. You know, we've got this woman called Julia, you know, and she's supposed to be a Christian, and her husband's a big Democrat. And then I gave her information that said, if you vote for Hillary and or the Democratic Party, you're breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. And so I sent it right to her, and she came back, and these judges too, wicked judges are in Kansas, just wicked. And she came back and never responded to my letter, and said, and just came down, I voted on her little thing, proud of it. And I thought, you're an absolute rebellion against Yahweh, and I had nothing to do with you, period. Because you're a believer, you're supposed to be a believer, and you're in wickedness right there. If you're a Democrat and you're celebrating that, because now you're for murder, you're for, which is abortion, you're for sodomy, which you're for stealing. That was all happening to my kids. Why would I have any association with you? Well, I'll try to warm up to it or whatever. You know, I mean, you're like, I'll turn around. Are you kidding me? That's exactly what you always say. Not even me was such a person. Okay, but Miriam, chapter 12, verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake unto Moses, spake against Moses. God. Wow.
On account of the Cushite woman.
So, hey, where was Moses' wife from?
Cush.
And where? What country is that?
Ethiopia.
That's why she's probably black. But people don't realize that she's probably Negro, because that's Ethiopians. Whom he had taken for a Cushite woman, had he taken? And they said, is it only the soul of Moses that Yahweh has spoken? With us also hath he not spoken? Can prophets sin and rebel?
Mm-hmm.
Was Miriam a prophetess?
Yeah.
Was Aaron a prophet? Yes, he were.
So
can they sin?
Yeah, so they just, King David.
There it is. These are the top. As I know, there's three. Moses, Miriam, Aharon, and 2 out of 3 went in rebellion against, when they go against Yahweh, or Moses, they're going against Yahweh. And so what happened to Miriam, as we all know, 9 and 10. And Isaiah, you want to read 9 and 10?
Yep. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon them, and he departed.
You don't want that. The anger of Yahweh came on you. And what's going to happen?
And when the cloud moved from off the tent, lo, from off there.
Miriam.
Leprous. Like snow. And Aaron turned unto Miriam. And lo, leprous.
Isn't that a great way how Rothman put
this? I want to know why Aaron didn't get leprosy.
We know that. I told you that.
I don't remember.
Okay. So we have to think, Yahweh's no respecter of persons. So I'm going to assume that Miriam started this, and Aaron was a good old guy that just went along and helped.
Wanted to make everybody happy.
And that's why I think he made the calf. He came up, Aaron, make us a calf. Well, okay. And so sometimes you just have a good old boy that does this. And the other thing we saw is when he saw her leopardess, did Miriam call out for deliverance to Moses?
No.
Aaron.
What happened to Miriam? She's the one that had the problem. So Miriam is quiet. Did Aaron call out to Yahweh or to Moses?
Moses.
Wow, he knew the pecking order. See, right there he submitted him and he called him what? Lord. He called Moses Lord. Was Aaron his older brother?
Yes.
No.
Would you want to call it? Yeah. Yeah, would you want to call your younger brother Lord?
Is it?
Oh, squirt.
That's not very comfortable. And so that is humility and meekness where you submitted yourself to his lordship. But she, and so my whole thing is she never said anything. And we know she's only cast out and for 7 days, but Aaron's just in hot water all the time. But Yahweh just knew his nature. And he said, Moses saved his life, so I think Yahweh wanted to kill you, making this golden calf, but I prayed for you. this, you know, so Moses, I mean, the only thing I think about Aaron, he's just a good old guy that just is manipulated very easy to try to please.
Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?
Yeah, Moses, yeah.
I'd have run.
They should have hit the frown right off the bat. I mean, hit the floor, they're kneeling, and repent before Yahweh said a word. Like nothing, but you got that hard-heartedness with all of us. I'm not gonna apologize. Okay. And what did leprosy automatically say about you?
Unclean.
You were unclean. Can you come to the tent of meetings?
Nope. No.
That means you're separated from Yahweh.
From everybody.
Wow. But it was only temporary. So that's Miriam. Now we go to chapter 14. Verse 35 through 37. So look at Numbers, this foliage, rebellion, so a great deal. 14, 35 through 37. And I, Yahweh, have spoken, verily this will I do to all this evil. Well, here was the 12 princes went out to spy out the land. And as we know, they sabotage 10 out of the 2. So don't ever be shocked if out of Christianity, what percentage is that? You know, more than 80%. 80% are against you. Yeah. Because that would be 10. It's 2 out of 10. You know, they were 20%, they were 80%. So the 10 said, we can't do this. 2 said, we can't. So probably about 18%. You seem like you're outnumbered. So were they. So people say, hey, Mark 11, 22-24, have the faith of Yahweh. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he speaketh cometh to pass, it shall be his. Doubters?
Yeah.
No. For this cause I say unto you, all things whatsoever you are praying for and asking, believe that you have them, and they shall be yours. Believers? No. Most people are going to say, no. No, that's just not true. And that's the 10.
Yeah. All right.
Oral Roberts and other people were the 2.
Yeah.
See? Okay, but here's the spies. Now, as for the men, when Moses went to spy out the land, who returned and caused all the assembly to murmur, not only were you cowardness, if you wanted to stay in the wilderness and go back to Egypt, do it on your own. But they spread a rumor. Or they could say, I'm too afraid, you guys go without me. But no, they're going to say, we can't do it. Now you've got a problem. Because it's not just your cowardness, you're instilling fear.
Yeah.
You're the mouthpiece of Satan to the whole camp. And that's why what's going to happen to them. And they spread a rumor against the land. They died, the men who gave out an evil rumor of the land, by the plague before Yahweh. There's 10 more. Rebels. Chapter 15, verse 32. And, you want to read, David? Okay, we're in Numbers, page 174. Sorry. Okay, Melania, why don't you read 32 to 36 loudly.
While the sons of Israel were in the desert, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And they who found him gathering sticks brought him near unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto the assembly. And they put him in ward, because it was not clear what they should do unto him. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, the man shall be put to death, all the assembly stoning him with stones outside the camp.
Wait a minute. Hey, was there an option not to pick up a stone? If you didn't pick up the stone, were you in disobedience?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you were. Hard stuff, huh? You want to kill somebody?
No.
Yahweh says kill them. What's that? You have to say, I'm either going to take allegiance to Yahweh or I'm not. See? It's always that same decision. Am I going to obey or disobey? Obey or disobey? And it's not for me to understand why. If he says this, I don't understand, I'm going to do it. fidelity. 36?
So then all the assembly put him forth outside the camp and stoned him with stones until he died.
That's good. Okay, yeah, that's one. Now we're going to chapter 16, or right there, verse 1 through 3. Another rebel. Golly, just one after another after another. When do you want to read 1 through 3?
Then took Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Kohath, and Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and On, son of Pelah, sons of Reuben. And there rose up before Moses with certain men of the sons of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, called to the stated meeting, men of renown, and gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Too much for you, when all the assembly are all of them holy, and in the midst of them is Yahweh. Wherefore then should ye set yourselves up above the convocation of Yahweh?
Isn't that amazing? These were princes. These are the top echelon. And are they supposed to be believers or Hebrews or seeds of Abraham? Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Now let's just see what happens to them. 31 and 35. Are you there, David? Page 176?
Yeah.
Read 31 to 35.
And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking of all these words, that the ground which was under them cave under, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them, and their households, and all human beings who pertained to Korah with all their goods, so they and all their pertained unto them went down alive unto Hades, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished out of the midst of
convocation,
and all Israel who were round them fled at their cry, for they said, Lest the earth swallowed us up. Fire also came forth from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men who offered the incense.
Okay, there was another 250 plus down. Korah was a Levite. And when they rebelled against Aharon and Moses, they were rebelling against Yahweh. Now we go to verse 41, same chapter. And all the assembly of the sons of Israel murmured on the morrow against Moses and against Aharon, saying, now think of that, here you go again. I mean, what? Now this is over 40 years, but they said on the morrow, we saw what happened before, so this is the next day. Ye have caused the death of the people of Yahweh. Man, doesn't that sound ring a bell? That's a Democratic Party, our adversary all the time. You're the problem. Moses, you're the problem. And it came to pass when the assembly gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aharon, there you go again, rebellion, and they turned towards the tent of meeting, and lo, the cloud had covered it, and the glory of Yahweh appeared. And Moses and Aharon came in before the tent of meetings. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, Lift yourself up out of the midst of this assembly, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell from their faces. Then said Moses unto Aharon, Take a censer and place her in fire from off the altar, and put incense. And going, you know what's so significant about the fire? And what his two sons did not do?
The fire was from Yahweh.
Yahweh started the first fire. In the tent of meetings. And that was it. They were supposed to keep coals from that for generations. Never start another fire. And so that was holy fire, and that's where Moses went to the altar and took off coals to put in the incense. You could only use it because Yahweh started the fire. Where he started the fire too is in Solomon's temple. When Solomon, they did a new temple up there, he started the fire there, and there was another situation. There's where all the ashes and the embers, that's the only thing he used, because Yahweh was igniting on both parts. That is holy fire. He didn't bring a match to it. That's cool? So that's where he went to the censer and put a propitiatory covering over them, for wrath had gone forth from before Yahweh, the plague had begun. Then took Aharon, as Moses spake, and ran into the midst of the convocation, and lo, the plague had begun among the people. So he placed the incense and put a propitiatory covering over the people. Thus did he take his stand between the dead and the living, and the plague was restrained. And so it was that they who died in the plague were how many?
14,700.
That was just after 250 died the day before. This rebellion upon rebellion upon rebellion, them who died over the matter of Korah. Right. And 21, chapter 21.
You don't have any nightmares from the homeless.
It's like everybody at the WSU Roundhouse dying.
Yeah, more than that, yeah. That's almost the KU deal. It's I think 16,000. So I think WSU has 10, maybe 11,000. Now we get into, let me see here, 21 verses 5 and 6. And somebody want to read 5 and 6?
I do.
Go ahead. Page 180, chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. So then the people spake. I'll go ahead and do it. So then the people spake against Elohim and against Moses. Here they go again, right? It's always the same formula. What is that? Set thou, O Yahweh, a watch over my mouth. Keep thou guard on the door of my lips. Not let not my heart incline unto
matters of wrong, that I may busy myself with practices and lawlessness, with men working iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties.
Very good. Okay, Esther, give me a verse. Isaiah 6:3.
The fullness
of the whole
earth is his glory.
This is called a pop quiz. Okay, Isaiah, give me a verse. And don't say Jesus wept.
It's in Deuteronomy.
Yeah. Hear, O Israel.
Hear, Israel.
Yahweh.
Elohim. Yahweh is Elohim.
Yahweh is one.
Yahweh alone. Thou shalt live for love Yahweh Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul.
Deuteronomy 6:45. Very good. Good. Next one.
Romans 10:9.
That thou shalt
confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your hearts that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved.
Amen.
From among the dead, then you shall be saved.
Amen. Good, guys. I want to ask you the adults.
Moab's my watch.
What about
okay.
the pot?
And where was I?
Moab's my watch pot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I read up from John then.
Let's see here. Oh, 21. No, we already did that. Was it? No.
5, I think. 4.
5? Oh, yeah, 5. Okay. And 6. 5. So then the people spake against Elohim and against Moses. Wherefore have you put up us out of Egypt to die in the desert? I just like, my mouth. For there is neither bread nor water in our soul that loathe this contemptible bread. Can you just believe it? They'd rather be a slave, a fat slave, than a free man under a cloud that's above this tabernacle, day and night. Things are dropping out of heaven, food, and you're not happy.
Water coming out of the rocks.
Yeah, water coming out of the rocks. Birds are flying. You're in a desert, and there's a cloud covering you every day of the year, which keeps you from burning. And it keeps you from freezing at night. And people are looking at you saying, how? You got millions of people living out there. There's no water. There's no food. And you're complaining. You think, you know, you think with us, that we're not looking at what we have instead of what we don't have.
Yeah.
I want a cucumber. And that's what it is. I don't want a Ferrari, God. I'm just unhappy. Six, and Yahweh said among the people, the poisonous serpents, and they bit the people, and much people out of Israel, what? Died. Okay, chapter 25. So we're almost finished. Yeah, sorry. You have no idea of how many people rebelled against Yahweh. One. We don't have time to go all the way through it to nine. Let me see here. Look at the title above it. Israel and the daughters of Moab. Phinehas, jealous for his God. And Israel remained among the Arcadians, and the people began to go away. Unchaste after the daughters of Moab, who invited the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. So the people did eat, and did bow themselves down unto their gods. Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel. And so we always have to understand, people say, well, if I can only see God, then I would obey him. So how much do these people see? I mean, your very existence, the breath that you have, is a miracle. To say, if I saw the way splitting and walk through it, I'd be obedient. And look at this. I mean, you know he's right there. Hey, in that cloud right there on fire, I'm going to go have sex with the next door neighbor who's an unbeliever. I mean, really? You see that thing burning right there? He really killed a lot of people. You know, but that lust of the flesh, let's go to nine. Then it was found that they who had died by the plague were 420,000. So now we just hit 24,000 more people. And we'll skip. And 31 verse 8 was, the person who told him how to do this was called Balaam. And he was a prophet of Yahweh. Yahweh spoke to him. He has three chapters in his book. I mean, three pages about Balaam. And he told the Midianites to go seduce these Israelites. And so what happened to him? He gets killed in 31 verse 8. And then for the whole caboodle of them, chapter 26, this would be this one, 63 to 65. We're not going to kill you fast, but you cannot go into the promised land because of your unbelief. And so it was people who were 20 and over. You're going to spend 40 years. Guess what? Your life expectancy is 40 years because you're going to die. And there's only two that aren't going to die, and who is that?
Caleb and Joshua.
And Joshua, Yahushua and Caleb. And so because of your disobedience, we're going to let the new generation come in and take over. So the final thing is in 63. These are they who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest when they numbered the sons of Israel in the waste plains by Moab, by Jordan, near Jericho. And among these was there not found a man of them who had been numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest when they numbered the sons of Israel in the desert of Sinai. That was when they first came in. Now they're leaving. For Yahweh has said unto them, they shall surely die in the desert. And there was not left of them a man, save only Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Yahushua, son of Nun. So, this is all rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. You say, well, how could it be so stupid? Well, what are we doing? You know, where are we not faithful? You know, do we have friends who are fornicating?
He can't see Las Vegas, though, can he? What happens there stays there.
Yeah, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas.
You can't see in there.
Yeah. And so we just clean up our act. Now, we're in a different age, but he wants fidelity. And Christ is our example. So it's very simple. Christ says, everybody should try to memorize 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of the Christ, isn't that funny? We're going to give it, a personification, like love as a person. For the love of the Christ constraineth us. Having said this, judge this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live, what? No longer live for themselves, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. Now think of that. Yeah, he was on the cross for you, and you, and you, and you, and me, dying a horrendous death. Now can I just get in line, and with all of them just say, okay, and when I get out of line, you know what I do? I get down on my knees and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we're gonna all get out of line. We're all gonna sin. But when it comes down to, okay, parents, wife, husband, children, you know, government, political parties, employment, you know, my employer starts becoming evil stuff that's legal. Am I gonna say there? No. It's legal. And that's what they try to do, and that's them taking the bridle, is by legalizing sin, then a person can say, well, it's not sin then. Because it's legal. And that's like going to the Las Vegas, because prostitution is legal. You know? And so then it must be all right with God. Because Nevada says it's all right. Okay.
I wonder what is legal in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.